Hello and welcome back to the Photography Basics podcast. In this episode, we're understanding ISO or ISO. Depending on where you grew up, where you work, you might hear just simply ISO, which, I don't even want to get into this, but we don't need to.
It's on a terrible path, Phil.
The thing is, we get flack for it because we have students from around the world, from different places, who say it's not ISO, it's ISO. Anyways,
that's so interesting.
Whatever you want to say, we're talking about ISO, which is
what do you want to say? But it's ISO.
It's basically the sensitivity of your sensor, and I think it's best to understand it, or easier to really understand it, in the past with film. And Will, since you're the oldest one of us, and you probably remember film more than us, can you explain
back in the day when we used to shoot film, there was these things called celluloids. Okay, so ISO back in the day, still today on film, was how we measured the sensitivity of your film. So your film would be more sensitive to light or less sensitive to light. This one is pretty easy, right? So the higher the number, the more sensitive it is. The lower the number, the less sensitive it is. So we would have 100 or 200 ISO film. That's pretty low sensitivity to light. So you would need more light to get a proper exposure. On the other end, if it was a higher sensitivity, like 800, 1200, 1500, 3200, you needed less light to get a good exposure. Now, the negatives that come with that are that because of the way crystals and celluloid was on film, the more sensitive elements on film, if they were more sensitive, you'd end up seeing them more on the picture, right? So that you'd see the grain, they'd be grainier. Mm-hmm. The less sensitive, the less grainier they were because they weren't as reactive to light. Now, oddly enough, you know, the universe works in strange ways, right? When sensors were developed, the same deal applies, just in a digital way. So if your sensor is higher ISO or has a higher sensitivity, you end up with now digital noise because they are highly reactive to light follicles. In the other direction, if it's the lower sensitivity, you have less noise, less digital noise, so your photo will look cleaner. Now, advancement in digital sensors has gotten so good that we can get a high ISO or more sensitive sensor without seeing the noise. Or in post, like in Photoshop or Lightroom or some other app, you can get rid of that noise a lot of times. Mm-hmm. So those are sort of the, like, I don't know, it's the backstory back in the day.
Thanks of ISO. For that. That
the
tale.
History of ISO.
So that's like generally the ISO. But do you want? Are you guys ready for the faucet?
Oh yeah, let's hear the faucet.
So when talking about exposure, right? So back in the day, we would use ISO in film. You'd be fixed to an ISO. It would just be 400. You couldn't change it. You put your film
for that roll of film.
For that roll of film. It was 400 ISO, and that was the sensitivity of the film. So you really were locked in, and you could only change those two other variables, right? F-stop, aperture, and shutter. Nowadays, you can change the ISO or the sensitivity. So this sensor, this analogy has gotten flawed a little bit nowadays because you can change that. But if the amount of time you leave the faucet open is the shutter, and the hole, if the faucet is the f-stop, what you're trying to do is get a good exposure. Now, that good exposure is a sizable bucket or a small bucket or a big glass or a small glass. Now, if a good exposure is the entire bucket or glass, if you have a large bucket, it means your sensitivity is actually pretty low because it takes a lot of time to get the water or the light into fill the bucket to get to your exposure. If you have a smaller, tiny bucket where your sensitivity is high, it takes you less light to get that bucket or glass full.
Yes.
So yes. There you go. It's the size of your bucket. So yes. The sensitivity to light and water.
I think Sam confused. It was a little confusing because Sam was talking about changing the size of the cup in the last episode, right?
He was.
Well, how long it takes to fill?
How long it takes to fill that cup?
Oh, how long? Okay.
But that is part of it, right? If you have a smaller cup, it will take you less time to fill it. If we say a full glass is proper exposure.
Got it. Then no matter what. Yeah.
So
it
depends
on how big or small your glass or cup.
We're going to get a 1 cup, a 2 cup, or no, yeah, 1 cup, a 2 cup, a 4 cup, an 8 cup, a 16 cup jug.
Yeah.
And then we're going to like do a whole example where we figure out proper exposures. I mean,
I don't know if it's more or less confusing for people.
the cup part, it might be a little bit more confusing, but the idea is that you want to fill it up with light. And so it's only going to take you a certain amount to fill it up or not.
Yes.
Yeah. And I think a really big thing to acknowledge is that there's a point in time where the difference between 100 ISO and 400 ISO on film was a significant difference. And you could see more texture due to the film stock. Now, within digital days, I personally, maybe if I were to really pixel peep, could not tell you the difference between a 100 ISO shot and a 800 ISO shot. And even at that, looking at a 6400 ISO shot on certain cameras nowadays, it looks beautiful.
Just
right.
Wild.
And so it's not necessarily, I think, something as sort of, you know, influencing your shot. I mean, I have a roll of 3200 film here, and that stuff looks so grainy, so noisy, and it's an aesthetic choice. But within the digital age, especially modern cameras, people are adding grain to get more texture onto their images.
ISO is really, compared to shutter speed and aperture, there's not as much of like a creative decision in choosing a specific ISO. I could see maybe with film stocks, like the choice of wanting a grainier image might have been a creative decision. But at least for me, I know that with ISO, it's generally, I'm just trying to go as low as possible to not have as any grain as possible. But then if I'm shooting inside or in lower light situation, you just inevitably have to bump up the ISO to expose properly. And that's really, for me, like just the decision. There's no real like creativity in me being like, yeah, I'm going to bump it up to 2560 or 25600 or whatever the high ISO
to
is.
A million. Like that. I think the big thing with ISO is that it is such the variable, right? It is a variable that allows you to choose creatively the other two.
Yeah.
So like it's the variable that you change so that you will allow you to get a closed down f-stop or an open f-stop for bokeh or a fast shutter or slow shutter. What ISO do I need to be at so I can make the creative decisions on those ends? Right. And I think also the crazy thing about ISO, and I've just been doing this because of our class on buying cameras, it is something that is like particular to the camera. Every camera and different level of camera will sort of have these days like a higher or lower better sensitivity. And that changes. Whereas f-stops and shutters are pretty much the same across the board. Like your measurement is always going to be the same, but 800 on one camera may be different from 800 on another camera, may be different on another camera. So it's just like film stock, right? 800 film stock on one film was different than another film. So ISO is a different variable in the sense that it's particular to the camera and it allows you to creatively pick the other variables, I think.
I do think though, and also if you're getting started in photography, something really important to note is to know, like Will was saying, how high of an ISO can your camera go and still give you a quality image? Because I do think, not on the creative sense, but on the getting a good photo sense, there's a certain point in which those high ISOs look horrible and are actually going to degrade your image. And knowing how high you're willing to go, because that's going to impact what f-stop you can shoot and what shutter speed you can shoot at, is a really important thing. Because if you are really stuck on a certain shutter and f-stop, and so you keep pushing your ISO, you're eventually going to get to a place where you're taking an image that isn't going to look good. And even though your camera can go to that level, doesn't mean you necessarily should.
And I think, again, for visual learners, I'm going to point you back to photographyandfriends.com, the ISO lesson. We have a great video from the photography masterclass where we compared the ISO of our three cameras at the time. And we were in the low light situation. I was with, we had a Canon Rebel T5i, a Fujifilm X-T2, and the Sony a7 R3. And you can just tell
it's like
the dramatic
capsule.
Difference in the noise that you got with the different at the different ISO levels, at the higher ISO levels. So,
and even since then, technology has progressed.
Crazy. Yeah.
And at the same time, if you're shooting between ISO 100 and 800 or even 1600, you're going to be fine. Yeah. Regardless of what camera you have, you're going to be fine. It's these other cameras that can go to 2 million that it's like, well, I guess there might be 0.2% of the time that you need that, which is cool. But for the most part, you're going to be able to take great images regardless, even if your camera can't go beyond 3200.
Yeah. I think when you're starting out, I think what Sam just said, living between 100 and 1600 or 100 and 800 and just letting it be in a manual sort of space, and then playing with your other two variables before you start to really push your ISO, I think is a good way to start out as a beginner.
Yeah. Cool. Well, I think that
you
covers...
don't need that much water, basically. You know, stay hydrated. Yeah.
That covers ISO. And in the next episode, we're going to put it all together in just a conversation about we'll call it the exposure triangle, but really just putting it all together and understanding in different situations of when you might adjust these settings, because it's one thing to know what the settings do, how it affects the exposure of your photo, but when you're actually out in the field taking photos, it's a much different thing to actually be able to expose properly. So we'll see everyone in the next episode. And yeah, thanks guys. See you then.